I can do it.
Is there Bible study this week? Or because of the movie?
It's in lieu of Bible study.
I think you better tell the lens.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, the idea is we're going to go to the movie instead of having Bible study today, this week. So I'll talk to you afterwards. This is a last-minute decision because my family saw this movie this week, and they said I didn't see it. They all saw it when I think it was on Thursday when I was at the prison. And they said, this is something that everybody needs to see because it's really going to help you with your foundation for trusting the Word of God. Okay? So that's really important. So what we're going to do is on Tuesday, and I'm trusting my wife's judgment on this, and my son, he said it's amazing. We'll go watch that at, where is it? Howard Hughes over at Cinemark. Cinemark 18. If you have your student ID, it's only $6.
No, it's $11.50.
Or $11.50. Oh, it went up for this movie.
Because it's run by an outside organization.
Okay. So, sometimes church is flying by the seat of your pants. So all that happened, all those changes and decisions may happen in the last 15 minutes. So, but it's all good. We don't want to miss an opportunity, do we? Right? To learn more. And, all right. So, also, as for those that are praying and considering helping with the Malawi mission, if you write a check right to Church on the Beach, and not to me, because I don't handle the money. No money comes to me. It just goes to the elders and goes to the right place because we got a check with my name on it, and I don't want that money. So, all right. Any questions about that? No. All right. Well, we're running a little bit behind today because we didn't have a printer at my house, and so we tried to get all the stuff printed at the last second. So we're a little bit behind, but it's good because I have a super long message. And what happened is, I was in the middle of the week, I was getting ready to finish Acts 2:42 about breaking bread and about prayer. And it just occurred to me that St. Patrick's Day was on Sunday. And St. Patrick is one of the most exciting persons in history. He really is. And so we've had a couple of great messages, one from Steve in the rain. How many were here in the rain? Thank you so much for weathering that. Steve Maynard brought a word while we were in Mexico. By the way, you heard about that from Daniel. It was an amazing mission. Thank you for your prayers. We're really making headway. We're getting in closer to the people, getting to know them, starting to disciple the Kumeyaay. And then last week, hearing from Dave and Shannon Edmondson, that was an amazing story, wasn't it? About how God has brought them together. And when we went out to lunch afterwards, I found out they actually got married when they were 19 and 21. So they got started early, hit the ground running. And her uncle is John Wimber, who started the Vineyard Church. So she's from really good church stock. His mother had five husbands. So they came together and got some things happening with his really difficult background and her wonderfully blessed background. They came together and they've become this amazing couple serving the Lord. And so really enjoyed meeting them, hearing that story. We're planning on going down there in October to do work in the orphanage. So if you want to know more about that, talk to me. The reason I'm saying October, which seems so far off for me, because I don't plan that far in the future normally, is because we have so much going on now with Malawi in June, and then our family goes to the Sierra in July, and then we're going to Mexico in August. We want to baptize the Kumeyaay in the village in August, and then in October go back down to Mexico to the orphanage. And then we're all of a sudden at Thanksgiving, and that's when our family does Bible Bee, National Bible Bee. And this year it's in Kentucky. And then all of a sudden we're at Christmas. So that's why things are stacking up. Pretty exciting. And then Dream Center is in April. So, you know, we're pretty lazy around here, aren't we? We don't get anything done. No wonder I'm a little tired. I actually slept this morning because the surf was so bad yesterday morning. And I just kept waking up like I was, you know, I have to be down at the beach. And It's kind of odd to come down here late and not wet, but God will take care of all this. Amen. So instead of breaking up into groups today, we're again going to pass that just because of time. But keep in mind three things during the week. You know, your highs and lows, reading the Word, and who you're going out to. So next week, you can talk about those things. What was my high this week? What was my low this week? Where am I reading in the Bible? Remember, those that read 4 to 7 days a week have a marked increase in blessedness in their life over ones that only read once or twice or three times a week from the Word. And then pray for somebody to go out to, just someone to love on. Also, there's been some text coming my way in the morning from some of the guys, and they're texting back and forth these verses and these encouragements. And I am so blown away to just be included in the text, just seeing this excitement. So if you get some guys here that you want to get their phone numbers from and text each other during the week, it's like a little lifeline during the week, right? Amen? It's so exciting. So I would encourage y'all, get somebody's number and just text each other during the week. Hey, good morning, praying for you. It really makes a difference. It's super exciting. Another way that we can fellowship via cyberspace, you know, through texting. So, everybody knows what day it is. I just told y'all. So, is everybody wearing green? Anybody got any green? Uh-oh, these are kind of green. It's okay, don't worry about it. Because, in fact, today what I'm going to talk about is that St. Patrick really didn't care about all that. If he was here, he would not be checking for green clothing or drinking green beer or driving out snakes, okay? Actually, the history shows that by fossil record, the snakes were never there, okay? But it's a fun story. And we'll find out that actually many people believe that that's an analogy or a metaphor for driving the evil off the island. So before I start, I'd like to pray. Dear God, I just thank you for this wonderful story. It's you working through an ordinary man to do extraordinary things. And that's why we've been reading the Acts, book of Acts, to find out how you use ordinary men to do extraordinary things. So I pray right now, Lord, that you'll take me, an ordinary man, and do an extraordinary thing and speak your word accurately, and that we'll be touched and we'll be moved to walk differently, to love differently, to plan and dream differently because of his life. In Jesus' name, amen. So, some of this I'm going to read. Some of this I'm paraphrasing because I don't want to miss stuff. Seems like I went to a teacher workshop yesterday. It was so funny. The one moment I decided to leave the teacher workshop and go to the bathroom, they showed a movie on St. Patrick. Isn't that funny? Because we were teaching how to teach kids. And then I got home and there was an email from Voice of the Martyrs talking about St. Patrick. And then I went, seems like there was all these different stories online and through different venues yesterday about St. Patrick. I thought a good place to go is to the Catholic Encyclopedia, because they took a lot of time to make it accurate and get actual stuff from his history. So I took it from there and from other sources online and tried to synthesize it and make it accurate. So Patrick was born in Kilpatrick near Dumbarton in Scotland in the year 387. That was a long time ago. And his birth name was Maywin Suckett. So you'll see that they changed his name after a while. He grew up in a Christian home, but considered himself pretty much an atheist. I mean, he would go to church just like kids do, but he really wasn't a believer. How many know somebody like that? Their parents are Christians, they go to church, but they're really not interested. How many used to be that way? Okay, how many still are that way? You don't have to raise your hand. But his father was a deacon and his grandfather was a priest. So they had lineage, okay? And this is a quote. In his 16th year, when he was 16 years old, actually I'll mix this with paraphrasing, his family was on vacation and they were down at the beach. And at that time, Britain was largely unprotected by the Roman Empire. They had taken their army to go to serve other interests in Rome, the Roman Empire in Europe. And so they were open to invaders. So pirates came and captured Maywin. At this time, well, let's just call him Patrick, okay? He's 16 years old. He gets captured. And at the time, he felt like he deserved it. You know, he just wasn't living a very good life. Oh, well, I kind of deserve this anyway. And was then sold as a slave to a chieftain named Milchu in Dalriada, a territory of the present county of Antrim in Ireland. And where he spent 6 years tending his master's sheep on the mountains and the slopes of Ireland. He was treated poorly. He was often cold and hungry, with little clothes, all alone, lonely. And he talks about, if you go online, he wrote this thing called Confessio, or the Confession. It is amazing. That one thing, it has numerous sections. I only got about a third of the way through yesterday. But just hearing his words and his love for Jesus is amazing. But he relates in this that while tending the flocks, he prayed many times in the day. The love of God, he added, and his fear increased in me more and more, and faith grew in me, and the spirit was roused, so that in a single day I have said as many as 100 prayers. How many have prayed 100 times lately in one day? And in the night, nearly the same, so that whilst in the woods and on the mountain, even before the dawn, I was roused to prayer and felt no hurt from it. It reminds me of David, right? That was out there tending sheep before he got his calling and his mission. Whether there was snow or ice or rain, nor were there any slothfulness in me, such as I see now, because the Spirit was in fervent within me. So he met God while tending sheep, serving an evil master on Ireland. And he began praying and fasting. And during a time of prayer and fasting, an angel came and talked to him. How many had an angel talk to you lately? Anybody? Well, that would get my attention. And I told you all that story when I was in Youth with a Mission, YWAM. I was in Wilmer, Minnesota, and we were doing an outreach. And a guy came out of the auditorium and looked at me and said, an angel just spoke to me and told me you're going to Africa. And my first thought was, wow, an angel spoke to you? That's pretty cool. Can I meet him, you know? And then he said, wow, you're going to Africa. I thought, that's so interesting. Africa, that's where people go and die for Jesus, right? They used to actually take their coffins there back in the 1800s because they just planned on dying, you know? But it's interesting because since then, I've been to Africa 5 times and I'm getting ready to go again in June, and I never planned any of it. So maybe it really was an angel. But here we have an angel speaking to him, and the angel said to him, by the way, do you believe an angel could speak to you? Did you know that an angel spoke to Mary about Jesus, right? Angel spoke to Joseph. Angel spoke to many people throughout history. So an angel spoke to him and said, you are going to your home country. See, your ship is ready. So after 6 years of captivity, he ran away from his cruel master, and he walked over 200 miles, and he says in his confession that God took care of him the whole time. Always took care of him the whole time. For 200 miles, he had nothing with him. And he made it to the shore, and he found a boat, and he asked these guys, can I go with you guys to Britain? And they said, are you kidding me? Get out of here, kid, basically. Which also reminds me of a story about Samuel Morris, which I think is really exciting if you ever get a chance to read his story, because he also prayed for a ship and was turned away until he prayed. And that's what Patrick did. He prayed and he asked God for favor. And after praying and after having several rebuffs, they allowed him on board. So that leads me to my first point in your notes. And it's interesting because this is titled St. Patrick, like to the Irish, but all the questions are about us. And that's just how the Lord was leading me after I titled it last night. As I went through this, I kept coming up with questions for me, for us, right? So the first question is, do you pray for God's favor? Do you pray for God's favor? It says in Psalm 5:12. Psalm 5:12. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. And again in Proverbs 8:35. Proverbs 8:35 says, "For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Okay, that's wisdom from God. He will give you favor if you ask him for favor. I remember one time we were on a train in the Ukraine, and I told the story before, but I like to remind myself about it. And they gave us, we bought tickets on the train, and they gave tickets to someone else for the same seats. And so we're all sitting there in our seats, and these Ukrainian local nationals came up and said, "Excuse me, you're in our seats." And we said, "What are you talking about? We got these seats right here." And they had sold them twice to make twice as much money. Hey, you know, why not? We'll just let them work it out later. So we're on the train rolling across the countryside in western Ukraine, and it's getting towards sundown, and the conductor comes to us and says, "You guys, you need to get up and give these guys your seats." We said, "But these are our seats. We paid for these seats." So the conductor took our team leader back to his car, and I felt led to say, "Lord, give us favor. Dear Jesus, give us favor. Give us favor." And I just started praying. We started praying, and our leader, Jill, said that the conductor was yelling at her, trying to bribe her for money. And all of a sudden, as he was yelling at her, his countenance totally changed, and he got a smile on his face and said, "You may return to your seat now." She's like, "What?" You know? It's just like this total change came over him because God just changed his disposition. And so we all sat in the same seats all the way back to Ternopil. The 10 of us, I mean, you know, like the 20 of us in the 10 seats, some stood, some doubled up, and we made it back safely. And God gave us favor. So that's what he's praying for. And this is something that we need to consider when we're up against the rail, when we're having a rough go. This is what I pray for the kids in Los Padrinos Juvenile Hall. You know, I pray that God will give you favor so that you will get out of here if you need to get out of here. If you need to stay here, I pray that God will keep you here to keep you safe. But whatever it is, God give us favor with our employer, with whoever it is, maybe a neighbor, maybe you're having disagreements with a neighbor. God give us favor. So in a few days, he was among his friends once more in Britain. Now, it's interesting it says that in the Catholic Encyclopedia, because I read the Voice of the Martyrs take on St. Patrick last night that I looked at after I'd finished all this, said that it took him quite a while. It said almost 2 years. So there's a serious discrepancy here. But the fact is, he did go back home to Britain. And on the way, God met their needs the whole time. In fact, one time they were hungry and God just presented a herd of pigs right in front of them. Bacon, you know, and the guys on the ship were blown away at how God would answer Patrick's prayer. Said that, and that was his reputation of a man of God that believed in God and was taken care of by God. So, more to it than that. So, but now, he's back home and his heart's devoted to serving the Lord. He's on fire. He studied to become be in the ministry. He became a priest. And he was actually sent as a missionary to Rome and did work with another guy during that time period. And but at the same time, God was moving to move him back towards Ireland. And he had a dream. And there was a man with a whole bunch of letters. And one of the letters on the cover said, "The Voice of the Irish." And then there was a bunch more letters. And a voice came out of one of the letters in the dream and said, "Holy boy." And that's what they called him in Ireland when he was a prisoner, because he became a believer. And then the other guys on the island, when he was still captive, they called him Holy Boy. So in the dream, a voice came out of one of the letters and said, "Holy boy, please return to us. We need you." And so that leads me to point number two. Do you listen for God's voice? Are you open to that? Did you know that God can speak to you? It says in John 10:27 that my sheep hear my voice. And this takes practice, because I'll say, "Lord, what do you want me to do right now?" And I'll listen for a voice. And first thing you want to do is make sure it matches what the scripture says. Because if it doesn't, then it's a voice from someone else, right? And remember, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren, and he's constantly whispering little lies, like he'll kind of rile you up in the house, like, can you believe they just left that out on the counter? You know, can you believe they left their bed unmade again? You should just, you know, or whatever it is. And the enemy will stir us up with these other voices, right? But God's voice is so much different. When I ask him, Lord, speak to me today, what would you like me to say or do? He'll say, love your wife. Okay, that's definitely scriptural. So I'll go do that one, right? Or when my wife and I got married, he spoke to both of us before we got married. He told her audibly, you're going to marry Russ Russell. And she said, what if I don't want to? And they kind of worked it out. And then when I prayed, I asked, you know, should I marry Elena? And God said, I've prepared her for you. And that's so true, because she has everything I don't. And and we keep going back to that when things are a little like, you know, working things out. We go back to those moments of faith when we realize God is doing this work, and it's not just something we made up, right? And that's important, especially when you're in ministry. And so Patrick hears a voice saying, return to us, return to us. And it's interesting because he frequently would see the pictures of their faces, just like Dave did with the orphanage, didn't he? He kept seeing Mexican faces, and he kept seeing these faces when he would worship, and God is calling him to build that orphanage. That's what we heard about last week. Very similar to this. So at this point, they made him a bishop. They changed his name to Patricius. In Latin, means father of his people, which was foreshadowing of what was to come, because he was going to be the father of the Irish believers, and that name for us is Patrick. So that's how he went from Maywin to Patrick. So he was prayed over to receive spiritual gifts and commissioned to be a missionary to Ireland. In the meantime, his parents were not happy about this. What? Okay, son, let's sit down and talk. You want to go back to the guy that held you captive, treated you poorly, and you want to go right back to him? Are you crazy? This is not safe. How many have parents that have challenged your ideas? Like, are you sure about that? Doesn't sound very safe, right? And you'll find that happens a lot with missions, because there is opposition to missions. Are you sure you want to go to Africa? You might just end up dying over there. Well, God asked me to go. I'll let him take care of the details, right? In fact, my son and I have had that discussion lately as we listened to a whole hour on diseases that are currently present in Malawi. But we're going because God's calling us to go, not because we want to challenge a disease or test a disease. Amen? So, it's interesting because God had prepared him perfectly for this mission. He'd already spent 6 years there, and he knew the language. So he doesn't have to go to language school. He just goes right back, and he can speak their language and preach the gospel. I'm sorry for not turning all the way over here, y'all. He knows the language. He doesn't have to do any of that. He can just get right in there without an interpreter, and he knows the area. It says in the Catholic Encyclopedia, he acquired a perfect knowledge of the Celtic tongue, in which he would one day announce the glad tidings of redemption. And as his master Milchu was a druidical, D-R-U-I-D-I-C-A-L, you know, druids, right? He was like a druid, high priest. He became familiar with all the details of Druidism, and whose bondage he was destined to liberate the Irish race. By the way, Christmas trees, the trees were part of the Druid worship, but we still use Christmas trees. I told my parents my parents had Christmas trees, but I told my family, if y'all ever see me kneeling down and bowing before the Christmas tree, we'll take it out, okay? But they were people that worshiped the land, the sea, the water. They were polytheist. But I'll get more to that in a minute. My point here for number three is, what is God preparing for you to do? What is he preparing you for? So in your notes, see, I'll fill these in case you're falling asleep. Okay. What is God preparing you for? Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, prepare to do works He's planned in advance for us to do, so that we may walk in them. And when you find that mission, that's when it gets really fun, y'all. I'm serious. That's when He uses your natural abilities, your personality, and but most importantly, spiritual giftings that He's given you and apportioned to you specifically for the task. And that's when it gets easy, because it's the Holy Spirit doing it through you. Like right now, I can feel the Holy Spirit helping me talk. And when I first came up here, I didn't really feel that. Are you hearing me? I asked for God's help. And God helps me do this thing here, right? He's going to help you do what He's asking you to do in your life. I look at my job as a school teacher, and I didn't really plan on being a school teacher. God asked me to be a school teacher in the inner city, and I'm teaching every subject that I learned in college. But when I was taking geology and architectural engineering, and I was studying art and film and reading novels and writing papers and doing, you know, computer animation and all graphics and all these things, I liked college a lot, okay? I went for like 9 years, and I took everything I could find. And plus, if you're in Santa Barbara with Rincon every morning, I mean, why get out of that, right? So, but anyway, I just had this perfect background for an elementary school credential. And I didn't even know I was doing that. So now I can teach any subject up to sixth grade. I know a little about a lot. I'm not a master of one thing, although I'm getting really into weather. I teach that a lot, okay? But I'm, you know... But God prepared me for what I'm doing, and it's pretty cool when I look back, because I didn't do that. So what is He preparing you to do? So Patrick, around the year 433, okay, so if he was born in, what year was he born in? So how old is he now? There's a math problem for you. Okay. So he went to Ireland with his companions. They landed at a river mouth. And just like the guy that we heard about recently over in off of India in the Andamar Islands, he went in a boat onto the land. And remember, this guy got killed recently by the arrows, the missionary. Okay. But he believed God had called him to be a martyr. And that's a whole other story. But Patrick did the same thing. He went in there. He was immediately met by druids that were ready to kill him. So he backed off, and they got back in the boat. They went around, spent a few days off the coast. And now this island was a place of total darkness, spiritual darkness, tribal warfare, superstition. It was a scary place. Can you say scary? It was a scary place. In fact, I think this would be an insane movie. If you know anybody with deep pockets... I already want to make a movie about Samuel Morris, but I want to make a movie about Patrick. This would be a blockbuster. It has all the ingredients for the faith-based crowd that goes to see War Room and all those faith-based movies. This is our adventure movie, okay? So they're coming into this dark place. They're confronted by the druids. He's brought money with him because he wants to pay ransom for the time that he was a slave, because remember, he did run away. So he's brought money with him as a ransom, so that he can win his way back into the tribe and bring them redemption and freedom. So, let me see here. I feel like I'm missing a page. Let's see. Okay, so then he went around, and they found a place. Okay. Just a second. 1, 2, 3. Does anybody have notes with number 4 written on it? Oh, wait, here we go. Here we go. All right. Okay, so he eventually came on land. He found another place to come in. And it was on the 26th of March, Easter Sunday, in 433, that there was an event assembly planned, a big high holy day for the Druids. And a decree went forth from the preceding day that fires throughout the kingdom would be extinguished, that no fire would be lit throughout the kingdom except for one fire that was going to be lit at the king's mansion, at the main building, the royal mansion. And the chiefs and the Brehons came in full numbers, and the Druids came with all their strength to bid defiance to the herald of good tidings. Who is that? Patrick. And to secure the hold of their superstition on the Celtic race. For their demoniac oracles had announced that the messenger of Christ had come to Erin. So the demons and all that presence was telling them, the man of God is on the island. Get ready. Get ready. The man of God is on the island. We need to keep him off so that we can maintain this darkness and keep the people in their darkness. Enter music, right? So then St. Patrick prayed. And this prayer is amazing. This is like two or three pages. That's why I was getting mixed up. He prayed, "I bind to myself today the strong virtue of the invocation of the Trinity. I believe the Trinity in the unity of the Creator of the universe. I bind to myself today the virtue of the incarnation of Christ with His baptism, the virtue of His crucifixion with His burial, the virtue of His resurrection with His ascension, the virtue of His coming on the judgment day. I bind to myself today the virtue of the love of seraphim, in the obedience of angels, in the hope of resurrection, unto reward, in prayers of patriarchs, in predictions of prophets, in preaching of apostles, in faith of confessors, in purity of holy virgins, in deeds of righteous men. I bind to myself today the power of heaven, the light of the sun, the brightness of the moon, the splendor of fire, the flashing of lightning, the swiftness of wind, the depth of sea, the stability of earth, the compactness of rocks. I bind to myself today God's power to guide me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to teach me, God's eye to watch over me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to give me speech, God's hand to guide me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to shelter me, God's host to secure me against the snares of demons, against the seductions of vices, against the lust of nature, against everyone who meditates injury to me, whether far or near, whether few or with many. I invoke today all these virtues against every hostile, merciless power which may assail my body and my soul, against the incantations of false prophets, against the black laws of heathenism, against the false laws of heresy, against the deceits of idolatry, against the spells of women and smiths and druids. That was interesting. Against every knowledge that binds the soul of man. Christ, protect me today against every poison, against burning, against drowning, against death wound, that I may receive abundant reward. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ at my right, Christ at my left, Christ in the fort, Christ in the chariot seat, Christ in the poop deck. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks to me. Christ in every eye that sees me. Christ in every ear that hears me. I bind to myself today the strong virtue of an invocation of the Trinity. I believe the Trinity in the unity, the Creator of the universe." Wow. That's a prayer. This is a little shepherd boy that didn't want to go to church. Right? Radical prayer. Patrick trusted God to take care of him. He was a man of faith. Understatement. So that leads me to number four. Are you trusting God? Are you trusting God? Are you putting trust in Him to take care of you? Look at Psalm 56:11. Psalm 56:11. Reads, "In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid." Look at this next part. "What can man do to me?" Let me say it again. "In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Right? St. Patrick arrived at this hill of slain at the opposite extremity of the valley from Tara. On Easter Eve in that year, the Feast of the Annunciation, on the summit of the hill, kindled the Paschal fire. The Druids at once raised their voice. O king, they said, live forever. This fire, which has been lighted in defiance of the royal edict, will blaze forever in this land unless it be this very night extinguished. In other words, we got to put out Patrick's fire. By order of the king and the agency of the Druids, repeated attempts were made to extinguish the blessed fire and to punish with death the intruder who had disobeyed the royal command. But the fire was not extinguished. And Patrick, shielded by the divine power, came unscathed from their snares and assaults. Answer to prayer. Patrick's fire brought light. The light of Christ, the Savior of the world. Which leads me to point number 5. Are you shining your light? Now, you may not be lighting a fire in defiance of the king's edict on a dark island full of superstition and darkness and evil, but you might be opening up your Bible in the doctor's waiting room. You might be speaking life into somebody's situation where they have no answers by saying a scripture. You might be asking to pray for somebody with hope when they have no hope. Isn't that lighting a fire? Isn't that lighting a fire? Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men." So on Easter Day, the missionary band, having at their head the youth Benenus. Now, there's another part about this guy. He was somebody that got saved through this whole process. They came forward on Easter Day after this fire. Remember that happened Easter Eve, the night before. So the next day, picture this. They're coming in with the gospel, holding the Bible into enemy territory, followed by St. Patrick with his big bishop hat and his shepherd hook. It's called a mitre and a crozier. So there they are with the Word of God coming into enemy territory with his big bishop's hat and his staff in full Episcopal attire, proceeded in processional order right to Terra. Okay? The Druids and magicians put forth all their strength. You know, I need to say one thing that I can't find in my notes right here. Remember Milchu that he came to pay the ransom? Remember the money, his master? When he came onto the island, he ran to the top of the hill where his house was, and his house was on fire. And he had thrown all of his possessions into the fire, and then he jumped in himself because he didn't want to be conquered by the one he used to hold captive. He said, "Lest I be vanquished by Patrick, I'm going to jump into the fire." And then it's been said that Patrick was yelling out, "Save yourself, come to Jesus, save yourself," as he was yelling out the names of his deities to try to drown out Patrick's voice, and he perished in the fire. Forgot to tell you that part. So that's already happened with Milchu. Now here we are, Easter morning, Milchu's not there. They're coming in full Episcopal attire. They're coming in. The Druids and magicians put forth all their strength and employed all their incantations to maintain their sway over the Irish race. But the prayer and faith of Patrick achieved a glorious triumph. Like that story I told you about Papua New Guinea, remember, where they prayed that the dead person would come up and turn the stick and point to the person that killed him? Remember that story I told you? And then my friend David said, "In the name of Jesus, that stick is not going to come up. A demon's not going to come up. Even if my sister in Christ could come up, it's not going to happen." And the witch doctor tried so hard to make that stick come up, and it didn't come up. And it usually does in their culture. It's a demon thing, right? And because of that, in Papua New Guinea, my friend David now has been able to plant churches there because they saw that God's power was bigger than the demonic power. So here we are again in the same type of situation. The Druids, by their incantations, overspread the hill and surrounding plain with a cloud of worse than Egyptian darkness. Patrick defied them to remove that cloud, and when all their efforts were made in vain, at his prayer, the sun sent forth its rays, and the brightest sunshine lit up the scene. So, they had this big cloud there, And he defied them. Remove the cloud. Remove the cloud if you're so powerful. It didn't work, but God did it. He broke through with bright sunshine. Again, by demonic power, the archdruid Locru, like Simon Magus of old, was lifted high up in the air. I've heard of people levitating in India, where you'll walk and just see somebody floating, levitating. So this guy levitated up in the air, but when Patrick knelt in prayer, there's this druid is flying above them. I mean, this is like, you know, Steven Spielberg stuff you normally would try to make up, but this is in real life. He's flying in, he was in his flight, and he was dashed to pieces upon a rock. Right? Thus was the final blow given to paganism in the presence of all the assembled chieftains. It was indeed a momentous day for the Irish race. Twice Patrick pleaded for the faith before Leoghaire. The king had given orders that no sign of respect was to be extended to the strangers. But at the first meeting, the youthful Erc, a royal page, so one of the guys in the kingdom, arose and showed Patrick reverence, even though he wasn't supposed to. So he defied, kind of like defying King Nebuchadnezzar. He defied the king and paid reverence to Patrick after seeing all this. And at the second, when all the chieftains were assembled, the chief bard Duptok showed the same honor to the saint. Both these heroic men became fervent disciples of the faith and bright ornaments of the Irish church. It was at this time that legend has it that Patrick picked up a shamrock with its three leaves and explained the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He continued to preach. He was given permission to preach the faith throughout the length and breadth of Erin because of this. Just like when we went to the chiefs of the Kumeyaay Indian tribe this year, and Bernicia, and that gave us permission to go ahead and minister to her entire tribe. I was like, yes, thank you, Jesus. That was an amazing moment for us. So, the sacred fire now kindled by the saint would never, ever be extinguished because it was in their hearts. Amen? So Patrick did, in fact, become the father of his people. He translated the gospel into their language, which in itself is a huge feat. Baptized 120,000 people. We baptized how many here? Like 30? He baptized 120,000 people. Planted 300 churches. That's busyness, right? You're going to need some help. Delegate. Planted 300 churches. As a result, there was cultural transformation on the island. Slave trade was abolished. There was a renaissance of learning. But most importantly, people were set free. People were set free because of Patrick. I was at Los Padrinos on Thursday, and they're closing it. They're closing the juvenile facility. And they're going to move all the kids to other facilities like Kirby, Central Jail, different places. And so they're all real nervous. They're you know, it's interesting. They feel a sense of security in jail because they've got a staff. They've got people watching over them. They have their little rooms. But all of a sudden, they don't know where they're going. And so there's been some black and brown fights, Hispanics against African Americans fighting. And so we got into prayer on Thursday night, and the chaplain warned us that we've had a lot of fights. And I said, well, what do I do if there's a fight? He said, well, just stay still and let everybody take care of it. So all the units were busy except for one women's unit. And I usually don't go into the women's unit. So I went into the women's unit, and this one girl wanted to meet with me. So I met with her, but in a hallway where everybody could see me. I would never be alone with one woman. And her name was Annabelle. And she believed in Jesus. She'd been baptized. Said, Jesus, come into my life. I believe you died for me. You paid for my sins on the cross. I believe that you rose again from the dead. I want to follow you and live for you. And yet she'd been in prison 10 times. And she's only like 14 years old. So something's missing, right? And she said, yeah, it's from hanging out with my friends, right? So I said, well, do you want to recommit? Because Jesus wants you to be free. He wants you to be free to stop the crazy cycle. Amen, Chris? Stop the crazy cycle, or else you'll just do it again. Do it again. Do it again. The Bible says it's like returning to your vomit, which is kind of gross, but it makes a point, doesn't it? And so she said, yeah, I would like to pray. So she closed her eyes and she rededicated her life to the Lord. And right that moment, three African-American girls came in and a Hispanic girl came in. And it was this big thing, this big fight trying to happen. And I'm standing there and it's right next to me. And she's sitting in the chair and they're right on each side of her chair. And all the staff ran in there and broke up the fight. And they got one of the girls on the other side of the glass, and she was punching the glass, trying to get to the three African-American girls. She was going to take them all on. This Hispanic girl was furious about something. And they were saying really kind things back and forth to each other that would have peeled that old paint right off the wall. And Annabelle was just like egging them on, like, woo, you know, all the girls get into it. And I went into the other room. They put me in the room with the Hispanic girls. And I said, hey, y'all, we need to pray. So all these girls came into the corner and were just looking at me like, yeah, we do. And I was starting to pray with them. And that other girl's in the back just going around like this. She's kicking water bottles and hitting the wall just out of her mind. She's a big girl, tough girl, right? And I said, hey, you need to give this to God. This is not a way to handle it. You're just going to get in deeper. But, I mean, she might have punched me if I wasn't careful. So I kind of made my comment. And then one of the staffers came in and said, we need to get you out of here for your safety. Oh, man. So they took me out, and I left, and I don't know what happened after that. But Jesus came to set them free, and that's why I go there. You know, Luke 4:18, Jesus said, the Spirit is upon me, anointed me. Okay, look at Luke 4:18. This is the last part here. Luke 4:18. When Jesus first started his ministry, he read this in the temple to start his ministry. After he came out of the desert, having been tempted by the devil, he opened up the scrolls and he read from the book of Isaiah. Says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free. Look at that. To set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And when he closed, he said, today this has been fulfilled. I am the one that this is talking about. And he confirms the Old Testament by saying that. In Isaiah 42:16, it said, look at that one in Isaiah 42:16. This is one of my life verses. I will lead the blind, Isaiah 42:16. I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them. He did this for Patrick. And rugged places into plains. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them undone. God wants to send us all on a mission along unfamiliar paths. He's going to use us to smooth the rough places, to bring light into the darkness, to bring freedom. But first, I want to ask you, number six, are you set free? Is there something that's holding you? Because it says in John 8:36, if you've been set free by Jesus, then you've been set free indeed. That's a good old Texas word right there. I've been set free indeed, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Been set free indeed. I reckon myself dead to sin and alive in Christ, right? If that is reality for you, pass it on. If that is reality for you, pass it on. Amen? Pray for God's favor. Listen for God's voice. What is God preparing you for? Are you trusting God? Are you shining your light? Are you set free? I encourage you. I usually don't like to use a lot of the words you in my messages. I like to use the word we. You know, we're all in this together. But I felt like God wanted me to write these questions last night. Take these to heart. We're on a mission, y'all. The time is short. Jesus is coming back. Right now, evil needs to be eradicated from the island of New Zealand. Amen? We need a Patrick in New Zealand. It's a Christian country. But yet, evil is stalking there. Darkness is stalking there, thinking that if I go into a mosque and kill a bunch of people live streaming, I'm going to win some kind of war. No, you're just going to end up in front of God answering for your evilness, and then you'll go to hell. Right? I mean, I'm just being straight. Jesus talks the most, what are the two things he talks most about? Money and hell. Right? And what does he say mostly? Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Right? So let's not be afraid. Let's let love cast out all fear. Let's pursue our mission. And everybody close your eyes because it's 10 o'clock. I can't believe I got all that done by 10. There's so much more. Believe me, if you start reading this, woo! Patrick was one gnarly dude. But he was just an average 16-year-old that didn't want to go to church. You understand that? I was that guy. I was in Port A messing around with my friends. Chris, you know, right? Right. Spring break especially. Come on, man. Don't give me no Bibles right now. But God got a hold of my life and he set me free of the very things that was making me party the hardest. He set me free from all those insecurities. I remember being in my car in Port Aransas with my friends and being insecure about trying to be cool and having the right clothes on and meeting the right girl and going to the right guys and going to the right, you know, just insecurities when you're a teenager. So thankful to have made it through. I'll be praying for y'all that are still there. But I've been set free, and I really don't care what people think about me, almost to a fault. Sometimes I forget to look in the mirror till like 3 o'clock. Whoops. The hair's like going over here. And I used to have it all so perfect. But so close your eyes right now. Maybe somebody today is not free. And they've heard the good news of redemption that Patrick came to proclaim and believed that God has sent him to do it. If you want to make sure that you're free right now and that your name is in the book of life and let the Holy Spirit lovingly invade you, change you, transform you, and help you to live victoriously, I want you to raise your hand. I see those hands. I see that hand. I see that hand. Today's the day for salvation. Why wait? It's all win. All it is about winning. You don't lose anything except grief. And you save a lot of money that you waste on other things too. But thank you, Father. Thank you, dear God. We just pray right now that you'll move in hearts, Lord. Move in our hearts. Show us our need for you. Show us our sin, Lord. Show us our need for you. Thank you, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Anybody else, raise your hands. If you want to know that you're safe with Jesus, he wants to free you up. Okay, let's repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross. Forgive me. I know I'm a sinner. Thank you for paying for all of them, all my sins. I know you rose from the dead, so I believe what you said. Come into my life. Lead me. Empower me with your Holy Spirit so I can be free and lead others to freedom like Patrick did. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's give the Lord a clap. Woo! So now if you have any doubts about any of these stories, do your investigation. There's lots of sources. It's all very interesting. Let's rise and give the Lord glory.